and welcome to For the Record, our bi-weekly show in which we take one recently released album and take a deep dive into it. You can listen to us every other Thursday at 9:30 a.m. San Francisco time on the world's best internet radio station, BFF.fm, or subscribe to the podcast at ForTheRecordPodcast, all one word, .com. This week we're talking about the second album from Brooklyn five-piece Gustav called Package Part 2, and it starts with a song called Statue. Aware of Gustav when we went to at South by Southwest in Austin in 2022. There was a Pace Day party at this club called the Pershing, and it was a really great lineup. I think that's the first time we saw Yard Act and Pillow Queens and some other bands that we really like. And it was not the greatest situation because they played like earlier in the day. So it was, I don't know, one or two in the afternoon. It's sunny. It's kind of like the stage was set up on a parking lot. But they put on such a great show. And Lydia Gamel, the front person, is so she has done improv and she's very emotive on stage and very entertaining. And they were all great performers, and the song that stuck out to me is from their first album Dog, which is about walking down the street and seeing your ex with their dog walking on the street and like remembering how great the dog was. And their performance was just really entertaining, and the music was great, and they were one of our favorite acts that we discovered that year.
Yeah, I think I'd had them on my list and then was completely blown away by how much they command that stage. And I mean, the way to think about Lydia Gamel is she is a pure vocalist, and so that gives her the freedom. She's not wrangling an instrument, so she can just be a performer, like leaping around the stage. And it seems weird to talk about the live performance, except that to me, what is so charming about this record is how much you get that sense of being in a small club with this possibly insane person. But then you realize, no, that's just her art, her voice.
Her persona is sort of an over-the-top, aggressive, angry person. And it's sort of she's kind of making fun of that sort of person, but also really inhabits it. And it's very effective.
Yeah, I highly recommend tracking down interviews because she's clearly balancing. I am a totally serious artist, and I'm also, this is completely ridiculous. And we get the first taste of Tara Thiessen, who plays a variety of different percussion instruments, as well as this weird pitch shifted vocals that you hear as kind of the counterpoint. And it's the through line on this for the band and for this record of her up front, and then this sort of almost like peanut gallery, like, you know, laughing at her from the background. And it's very, very, very charming.
Yeah, so the next song we'll play is called Close.
Moaning and weaving, I bundle my pride. I wanna push up against you, feel you, claim you in my life. I walk forwards and backwards, I try to walk upright. Well, something's off, I lose when I try. But I before I go, you tell me
one of the reasons this band has gotten so much attention is the boosting from very famous musicians. So this video has the nice little advantage of a video from Beck as the director, and he's been a booster of the band since their first record, Audio Drag for Ego Slobs, which is a very both incredibly silly album name, and yet also I think Audio Drag is a Laurie Anderson concept, and so it sort of again combines that kind of pretentious arty side and also the just complete ridiculousness. Well, I can see why that would appeal to Beck.
And it's what Tara Thiessen is literally doing with her vocoder or voice distortion.
Yeah, and it's again that great combination of that playfulness and her intense talk singing, the vocoder vocals, but then, you know, shout out to the rhythm section of this band, mm-hmm. which is Tina Hill and Melissa Luciola on drums. And they are both so fabulous. And I think it really, to me, is the anchor of this band that they have the incredible playfulness, but it's always anchored with this propulsive beat that does not let up. And this song in particular just has this sense of, no matter how kind of deranged it feels, it's always moving forward.
Yeah, and there's a lot of sort of unsettling elements. Like the first song we played, Statue, has this kind of drone synth in the background. And then this has the repetitive bass line and the weird little guitar skronks. And the guitarist, by the way, is Ram Kerlopian. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing that right, but he's the only person that we haven't named so far.
Yeah, those guitar bits in the song are amazing. And they keep building because we heard, I guess, the second chorus there. So the first chorus is fairly restrained, and then it just gets more and more out of control. It's really awesome. It's just, I would love to see this song live.
Yeah, and Linda Gammell has talked about the fact that she really likes having a limited set of instruments and kind of instrumentation styles so that there's not too much to choose from. And she said she thinks all the time of a friend from Germany who was visiting the US, and they went to the store and she was looking at the cereal aisle, and she's like, there's too many choices. How do you have so much cereal? And she wants to not be like the American cereal aisle, and feels like by limiting the pieces that they're playing with, they can create a more cohesive sound that explores the space of that style of sound.
Yeah, they're really trying to do so much, but with restraint and taste. And I like that this song, they said they start, one of the first they started writing and one of the last ones they really finished, and appropriately enough was the last single released before the record came out, and just a great getting everyone amped for the record. So yeah, we go from this song to the next one we'll play as the first single. It's called Starting and Staring.
Song because I think it's very funny, and a lot of the lyrics on this record are opaque, and they're about, you know, kind of difficult relationships and self-examination, but it's difficult to pick out a real story. But this song in particular, Gammell has said, it's about when you're at a party and you think you're like, you've gotten past a person and moved on with your life and you're having a good time, and then that person walks in the door and you're like, ugh.
Yeah, I just love it. Stay on, like, this need for attention, like, no, keep looking at me. Oh no, this other person. And yeah, it's so playful. And I think what I love about this is that, again, for how, you know, this is nominally, I could kind of describe it as art punk being the big box we would put this in, but then you get these, the synths here, which I think are also coming from Tara Thiessen. And I think that, like, she, when in the live act, I remember her playing keyboard. She also had the very elaborate kazoo, very entertaining performer to watch.
Yeah.
And so really giving it this, you know, very new wavy kind of playfulness. And that's, yeah, very appropriate for
and,
that.
And it's also got a very dancey bass line. I feel like the first few tracks are sound very sinister, and they're a little bit minor key, and there's these elements, like we talked about, like the drone sound and the repetitive bass line that make it feel a little bit threatening. This one is more fun. It's like dancey.
Yeah, it's very playful. You get the nice just production touches of having the band, I guess the band members themselves are like, oh, let's do these kind of improvised just backing sounds of people at a party. And I think later in the song, we do get some backing vocals from the one male member of the band, Fram Kerlopian. And it's sort of fun to hear that at the same time as the downshifted woman's voice. So again, we were just talking about this, the cereal analogy, but I don't know, this seems like a pretty packed cereal aisle to me.
Yeah, the producer and engineer, Aaron Tonkin, has a huge list of credits. She's a very prolific producer, but the sound that she gets on this album really, I think, captures the feeling of seeing them live. It's really clean production, and there are just these little touches that make it fun to listen to in headphones, but it, like, you really feel each of the instruments and everything is very clear.
Yeah, it's a great distillation, a great choice for a first single, and I think we're getting into the meat of the record. It's a pretty quick record. I think it's 12 tracks, but they're all really pretty short. Mm-hmm. And we go from this, as you said, kind of danceable to, I think, maybe the silliest record silliest song on the record. It's called I Won. The story of how this song came together, where it literally was that lyric, pound, pound, that's how your laugh sounds, as the start of it, and that it that kind of grew into this entire kind of ridiculous story of this kind of angry person and then the person laughing at her. And who wins? The person who's laughing, because that's stronger than anger.
Well, the person who is getting angry and wants to win in an argument or a relationship or whatever is like the person who automatically loses if the other person just says, fine, you won.
Yeah, okay, yeah. And yeah, that it really highlights the dynamic between the lead singer and then the backing singer, and how I love how the Lydia Gamble just describes this as like, oh, this is that I'm the tragedy face who's frowning, and then Tara is the smiling comedy face, and that we have that dynamic on stage, and this is that embodied into a single track.
This song has so many nice little musical touches too, like with the pound, 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 you get the tom drum like emphasizing it, and there's just a lot of, it's a very kind of fluid, dancey song that's very fun.
Yeah, there are some really nice little synth bits. And I'll say, I like many people, I'm out there listening on junky earbuds a lot of the time, and I did not really pick up on how much synth there is on this record until I'm now listening to it for our discussion with really nice noise-canceling headphones. I'm like, oh, there's some... really so much even more texture than I realized. It's really quite something.
Yeah, and I think there's some sameness on this record in that there are a limited number of elements that are configured in different ways. But if you listen to the feeling of a song like Close, which is the second song we played, which is very claustrophobic, and it's about kind of having this anxious attachment to someone and wanting to like grab onto them and hold them close. And it's very, you know, it's all of the elements of the instrumentation come together to give it a very anxious, unsettled feeling to this song, which I think is more, it's just more upbeat. It kind of sounds like a dance party, except for the lyrics, but it's very funny and silly. And I think they cover a lot of ground.
No, it's pretty fantastic and just really a testament to, yeah, the range here. And I know you pointed out and didn't mention it, but the fact that this the backing vocal was literally their first sort of just, let's just throw out something and it's the scratch track. And like, actually, this is the best version of it because it's so spontaneous and funny. And I think I talked about the artistic philosophy, and I feel like Lydia Tramiel Gamble describes as, my rule for Gustav is there's no mistakes, only new arrangements. And that sort of improvisational, just anything goes, really, I think, contributes to the freshness throughout this record.
Yeah, she started out doing improv at the same time as doing music. And she really, the band had played a lot of live shows before they ever recorded their first record. And she said that was part of the fun of it, is wanting to do it differently every time and have such an improvisational feel. And it was tough to put it all down on a record and be like, okay, this is what we want the song to sound like. But I think there is still a lot of improvisational feel in these songs.
Yeah. And I think, speaking of that, I would say that we go from a lot of these songs that, however improvisational, are pretty propulsive with these steady beats, that rhythm section, just laying it down, to a kind of cosmic and psychedelic exploration that's still a little silly. It's called Hear Hair.
Song that Gamble wrote before the first album, but they felt like it didn't really have a good place on that record, and they were trying to keep it to a tight 10 tracks. And with the exception of Produce, the back half of the record is going in sort of a different direction. Rather than have these really clean, repetitive bass lines and minimal guitar sort of squonks and little flourishes, these songs have a much more, I don't want to say musical quality, but they're more melodic. She sings more. It's a different feel. And she said intentionally that this song is, she wanted it to sound like or feel like you're waking up out of a dream. And I think this song really conveys that.
Yeah, well, you literally get these samples of a bird and then an alarm clock. Yeah, and it's sort of like a bird, yappy, and then the alarm clock, not so much. And yeah, this sense of, if I just stay asleep, maybe the person who used to sleep next to me is still there, and then I wake up and that person isn't there, and that longing, and all embodied with this loose, playful, very melodic drum style, which we haven't heard on the rest of the record. And I guess they usually apparently lean on a click track most of the time, but did not, obviously, for this one, because the rhythm is all over the place. And I love how we get this luxuriating, and then you get the excitement, and then slows back down, but it's slowing back into down to kind of, you're half awake, and then you're kind of half asleep, and then you're awake. And yeah, I love that just it takes you on this journey. And this is the longest song on the record, mm-hmm. at 4 minutes, 40 seconds. And it's so expansive. And I love that it's actually a double song within the record where they basically did the entire song, not in 440, but in 45 seconds with a counterpoint called Hard Hair. We'll play a little of that.
1, 2, 3, 4. I like that little tacked on bit because even when they're doing a song that is a little bit more sincere, they just can't leave it. Then they have to do a second part that's kind of making fun of the song.
Yeah, no, I really appreciate, you know, you were talking about how, oh, she's really singing melodically on that first, you know, the main track. And then, of course, this one is just full volume screaming. And it's great that if you look at the, they do include lyrics on their the Bandcamp for this record, and so this track is just all caps for that one song. So it sounds about right. And I love that counterpoint because on the first track we get the backing vocals having this kind of safe and warm, and then what we heard there was she just screams out safe and warm, and it's totally inverted, and it goes from this sort of half remember to this angry and it is amazing. And it's also hilarious because I read in one interview that at one point the record labels maybe just released this part as the single. I'm like, I don't know.
So, well, and tying back to what I said earlier about how they like to improvise and make every performance of every song sound a little bit different, here's a way that you could see them doing the same song two different ways.
Yeah, no mistakes, just new arrangements.
Yes. So the next song we'll play is the penultimate track, and it's called Ground.
The clouds just block my moon. Think about if I've lost you too soon, but I want you to know I feel it when it's growing. I want you to know I can feel it when it's growing.
Song goes in an even more new wave direction with that synth that is like simultaneously a kind of droney synth at some points and then very melodic. Yeah. And I think adding that new element in the back half of the album and then End of the Year, which is the last track, includes some woodwind, is that the word? Like an oboe is what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
for some reason that word sounded really strange to me. Instruments and strings, and it really takes them in a new direction that I think gives me hope that the third album will be even more interesting. But anyway, this song, I think, you know, if you compare it to Statue at the beginning, it shows an evolution of this character over the course of the album, but also the sound and the feeling and the danciness of the tracks. Yeah. Like they get much more dancey. And I really like how Lydia Gamble's voice and delivery hold it all together, but it's a real journey through the different faces of Gustav.
No, it's such an amazing pairing. You know, talking about with the Statue, where I think she's described this as like, it's this invocation, and but it's this very kind of alienating, like, look at me, I'm in the middle of the stage. And it's just very like almost her pushing the audience away, mm-hmm. in a sense. And then this song, which I think she's said, oh, originally I was thinking about how like in my personal life, when I'm feeling kind of overwhelmed, I'll just like lie on the ground to try and get reconnected. And so that was sort of what I was thinking, you know, when I wrote the song, she says, but then perform it for an audience. And it's suddenly like, no, we're all touching the same ground. We're all dancing on the same ground. Uh-huh. And it turns from, it's so it can mean what she originally meant. And then also means that, hey, we're all sharing this together. It's not just me lying down. It's all of us jumping up and down on the same ground. And it's both those things. And so from Statue, I'm pushing the audience away. And then here, like, no, we're all in this together. And it's such a great, yeah, it's great that we go from this direction rather than the other way, which would be kind of a bummer.
Live music is always the way that I best experience music, and I can hear something recorded, but I need to see it performed to really feel the emotional connection to how the band is communicating their music to me in that moment. And I feel like bands like Gustav that started out performing live and were not focused so much on getting things into a recording and keeping that spirit of we're communicating something to the people in this room, and we are also part of the Brooklyn music scene, and we're sort of having a conversation with all these other people that we know that play music, and it has a more communal feel, and there's something that feels different about it to me that is what I get from this record.
Yeah, I think they formed in 2018 after like other bands kind of didn't work out, and so they came together and immediately started making music, and I think were making music before they had even named the band.
They were, one of the band members was, her band was playing at South by Southwest, and she needed to get a van down there, and they ended up booking shows on the way, but they hadn't formed the band yet, and so they were forced to just kind of come up with something and play together in a very spontaneous way, and I think that has consisted, you know, persisted in their music. I can't find the words.
Yeah. So I think they, you know, got a lot of attention pretty quickly, put their first record out, you know, in 2021. And
was it 2021? Because I thought that record was not out yet when we saw that.
No, I think it had been out for a few months. It came out in the fall of 2021. And so then we're getting now this new record to enjoy. And it is, you know, they clearly have made huge fans, though, with that live performance, because we talked about Beck, I think also John Dwyer of OCs, and they're getting amazing opening slots because they've opened for Yard Act.
Idols.
Yeah, opened for Yard Act and Idols in the UK.
Apparently they have a big UK following, which I thought was interesting.
Well, you kind of think about the bands that are huge in the UK, these bands that are like bands like Yard Act is huge. Idols are huge. Mm-hmm. And that, they kind of fit in with that world. Also, they're opening for several of the Slater Kinney sets in Europe this summer, which is fantastic. Like, really nice placement for them. But also doing, in the middle of all of this, opening acts, doing a headlining tour this spring. So we'll be lucky enough to have them coming to Café du Nord in San Francisco on the 6th of May.
Yeah, depending on when you hear this, that might be in the future.
Yeah, when we are talking, it is in the future, and tickets are still available. So we'll see if either of those things is true when you hear this.
So as I mentioned, the last song is called End of the Year, and we're going to go out with that. Again, we've been discussing Gustav's second record, Package Part 2, and you've been listening to For the Records. Thanks so much for listening.
Once more I peek inside. Once more I ask. This podcast is proud member of the BFF.fm podcast network. Learn more at podcasts.bff.fm.
BFF.fm, best frequencies forever.